Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to another live edition of Meet Me, an irreverent podcast brought to you by the Mancini Network and the wonderful Mark Mancini. I'm here in seasonably warm Indianapolis. Well, technically it's Speedway, but we're engulfed by Indianapolis. My partner in crime.
Hi. Right. And I'm in sunny Sarasota, Florida, although it's not quite sunny right now. But
it's temperature down that big.
Yeah, it's definitely warmer than most places are. Yesterday I was swimming and it was really nice.
Oh,
just perfect.
Man.
So.
Well, we got low 50s here today, but it's going to snow tomorrow, so.
I kind of miss that snow in a way. I keep seeing people posting pictures on Facebook, and I kind of miss that. It's really, really beautiful, but you must be getting tired of it by now. Have you had it all winter?
No, we had a really mild winter. We had that one where it was like 9 days where it was just brutal single digit or below zero temperatures. But other than that, it's been pretty mild. We're off to a good start. Harold from Las Cruces wants to know where our bathroom guy is, you know, the one his wife accused of masturbating. He wants to know where John and Leatherface are. Well, I think John's in Judge Joe's jail, and I'm not sure what Ray's doing. I think he's putting together an army of the undead with his Undertaker skills and supply of, think of another reason why they would want to miss our show.
Yeah, it's funny. Well, I think that Mark thought he was going to be coming in, so maybe he will come in a little later. But, yeah, I don't know what he's been up to.
And the guy from go ahead.
Oh. I don't know what the guy from the bathroom is doing. We haven't heard from him for a while.
Oh, I got a feeling I know what he's doing, Peg. Zach from Trabuco Canyon says his girlfriend left him because he couldn't find a job. She was a nurse, and she left her for a rookie doctor. Well, that sounds like a pretty good deal for her. I hate to tell you, Zach, I'm siding with her, but she can't find a job in this economy. We're up to 156, Peg, and we're 2 minutes in.
All right.
So I love our listeners. I want to thank every one of you for tuning in. It just makes our job a lot easier knowing that, at least for me, we'll have an interest in the silly stuff we have to talk about. Did you have good to eat this week, Peg?
Pardon?
Did you have good to eat this week?
Yep, I did. And Albert from Poway says, this show is the best. Keep up the great work. Never date a bum. So, I don't know. I think that guy who got left for the doctor might have had a rough time, a rough competition there.
I guess I'm a bum now since I'm retired. I live off my beautiful wife, one might say.
Oh, she's beautiful. What did you have for your Valentine's dinner?
Did
you do something special?
No, I wanted to, but it didn't work out. I live in what they call technically, it has a name called Old Speedway. It's where the Indy 500 track is. It's, like I say, it's about 60 seconds away from my house on a bicycle, if I ride a bicycle. And it's a historic, national historic place. So it's a little sought after. Homes are all pretty small, but they're sought after, and the neighborhood really can't grow, but nothing much can go bad in it. So, but Casey's business is in northern Hamilton County, which is the affluent county north of Indianapolis. They call it, it's the nicest and most wealthiest place in Indiana. But most of her business is there, and it's about a 45-minute one-way drive from here to there.
Uh-huh.
And So we're going to move. We kept her house when we married up in Carmel. And so we're going to move back up there. But we're trying to get this one ready to sell. And the renters have moved out of that one up there. But she rented it while she lived here. And so we're refurbing two houses to get them ready for market. So she got home really late last night. I'm getting ready to have spinal surgery here before too long. And I felt crappy, and so I went out and got us a pizza.
Well, you got to do what you got to do.
That's right. We're going on that trip. We're to go in the Bahamas later this month, and I've really got a really nice gold anklet with a heart in it, and bought her some beautiful flowers from my favorite florist, and got her three cards. She liked one of the cards so much that she texted me while she was driving to work. Hey, Peg,
that's
I got to jump in on food here, girl.
Okay.
You know, I try to eat something unusual or expired for the show every week. I didn't eat anything expired this week, not horribly anyway, but I did have the really, really good grilled cheese sandwich. I took some five-seed bread, which I love, and buttered it up really good. And, I always like to have Velveeta on grilled cheese, so I put Velveeta on one side. Then I put this really marbly-looking cheddar and pepper jack on the other side.
Ooh.
So he is, Peg. I always... usually grill them open them up and put mayonnaise and lettuce on them, which I think is great. Then I got to cut it in half at 45 degrees. But I didn't put mayonnaise and lettuce on this one. You know why? I stuffed it with fruity pebbles.
Fruity pebbles?
Yes.
Well,
the combination of that melty Velveeta with that crisp, very crisp. The crust is everything, to me on a grilled cheese. Mm-hmm. And so I had this nice crispy golden with brown, on it, grilled cheese. But that sweetness of that pebble cereal in there, oh my God.
Yeah.
I wanted to eat another one, but I'm trying to lose weight so I could only eat two.
Sweet and savory always is good together. I haven't tried the fruity pebbles, but
I didn't load it down with fruity pebbles. I put, just a light coating in there. But man, it was really good, especially that Velveeta just melt all around it. Got to try it, Peg. But the good thing is you cut it. You put that 45 degree cut in there with a really good knife, so it doesn't break anything. Just slices it real clean. And you look in that sandwich, you see that melty cheese, those little colored dots in there.
You discovered a whole new meal there. That sounds pretty good.
And since I was using Fruity Pebbles breakfast cereal, I drink Diet Coke with grilled cheese, but not this time. I drank skim milk.
Well, that's healthy. Getting a lot of calcium there.
I drink a lot of milk, not as much as I was. I've got to lose weight. I want to lose weight for the surgery because I don't want to. I'm having back issues. I guess when I fell back in the, somehow I broke my back in two places and didn't realize it.
Ooh.
And it's.
And you didn't realize it? Wasn't it painful away?
It hurt like crazy. But I try to shake things off. But now, unfortunately, those vertebrae are sitting on nerves. So I have just a constant, on a pain scale of 1 to 10, I have a constant 7 in my both sides of my butt cheeks. And, I had my hips replaced, right? I thought one of my hips had gone bad because the pain was so bad in the hip. The hip was fine, and that's how I found out I had this back issue. But my right thigh just is constantly uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Occasionally it goes down the back of my hamstring to my heel on the right side. And the left hip hurts. I wouldn't say hurt. left hip's a 5 most of the time, but the right hip goes from about 5 to, and when it's really bad, it goes to around 9. Unfortunately, the only thing I do, pain meds haven't worked. So I can go on the trip. They're going to give me spinal injections to try to alleviate it. And then when I get back, we'll schedule the surgery.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Well, good luck with that.
No, I really don't want back surgery. I didn't mind getting my knees, my hips. You know, I need a shoulder replaced. But, man, seems like back surgery is about 50-50.
You're going to be a bionic man with all those
I've got enough metal parts to give each kid one when I die, and I have 4 kids, so.
Well, don't tell Ray about that.
Oh yeah, yeah. Ray, I'm not letting Ray get me. I'm going to be cremated anyway. Even though I'm Orthodox, and we don't normally do that. I just don't see putting all those chemicals in the ground and preserving a body that's useless. You know, I'm an old man. So I think they're going to do anything with me.
Unless they. Do you have good eyes? You can give your
eyes.
Yeah,
I do have good eyes. I just have terrible joints from playing football. I went to one of those heart scan things and got the I call it the works, where they do everything. Came out pretty healthy. For somebody my age, my combined cholesterol is 99. Because I used to have to take a drug to raise my cholesterol because I didn't make enough. That was a contributor to my stroke. It made the tolerable level now. I'm
it's
good
crazy
thing.
With
like,
the way
I
you eat.
To, you know, it is, but I exercise my whole life, Peg, and whatever my makeup is, I just don't make cholesterol, which all my... everything came clean. Even when I've had 3 heart attacks, and even with the heart attacks, they hardly ever any block. You know, they couldn't find any blockage or anything. It was caused by, I think one of them was caused by a blow to the heart, and got that playing football. And the other one, I just overexerted. It was like 97 degrees, and there's these. Third story of these apartments, and this couple was always in domestics, and he would normally beat her, and she would never do anything, but it was 97 that day, and I got there, and I looked up and saw him fighting on the balcony, saw him hitting him and choking her, so I thought, okay, I don't need her to testify anymore. So I ran as hard as I could across the parking lot, up those 3 flights of stairs, struggled with him, got him under arrest, and went back and got in my car. I thought, man, I don't feel very good. It must be the heat. So I got the air on full blast, and Buddy was with me. And so we're driving out, and I get up to the next cross street, and I thought, man, I feel horrible. I'll be all right. I'm just hot. And we started driving north on what we call Georgetown Road. Well, 5 blocks away is a fire station. So I'm sitting at the stoplight in front of the fire station, when all the classic symptoms come, the left arm, the punch in the jaw. And I thought, oh, crud, what? I am having a big one. So I just whipped over in the parking lot, and my buddy texts me, he goes, what's up? I'm like, go inside and tell him I'm having a heart attack. So he parks in a lot, saunters over the cars, like, man, quit goofing around. I'm like, dude, get your butt in there. I'm having a heart attack. So the firemen come out, the guys I work with all the time, and they're like, what are you doing, goofball, blah, blah, blah. I'm having a heart attack, dumbasses. So they start checking me out, put the blood pressure thing on me, and I'll never forget this one great big fireman goes, oh, bleep, he's having a heart attack. And I'm like, I told you I was having a heart attack.
Nobody believed you, huh?
Nobody believed me. They thought I was just trying to make them come out in the heat, Peg.
Wow.
Anything going on in Sarasota?
Well, let's see. I'm much less tolerant of pain than you are, probably. I somehow pulled a tendon or bruised a tendon, my Achilles tendon, in a yoga class. And it I can't walk on that foot. So
I
went to the doctor yesterday. It was like 3 weeks ago that it happened, but now she put me on prednisone, which I really haven't been on before, which makes me feel kind of weird, but my foot feels a little better. She said it can take longer to heal a tendon than it takes to heal a broken bone, which is kind of amazing.
Connective tissue, yeah. Prednisone's in, I have immune deficiency since my second cancer, and I have to take these occasionally if I feel a flare-up coming on. I've got these 7-day packs I take, try to stay, because, you know, it basically attacks my joints, and my joints all feel like they're on fire. That's one of the drugs I take for it. So it was so bad, probably a couple of years after the stroke, that I was actually in a wheelchair. It was so painful I couldn't stand.
So I used to,
when AIDS first came to the forefront of things back in the 80s, early 90s, I used to always think, yeah, come on, you know, give these guys some morphine or something. It can't be that bad. Well, I can tell you now, when your joints are attacked by your immune system, it's pain. It was the second most painful thing I've ever had in my life.
Oh. Well, I hope things go well with that back surgery and your back in good form.
Well, I started doing some reading from the materials from the surgeon office today, and like, oh my God, I didn't realize what they were going to do to me. They laid you flat on your stomach and cut you open and spread you like they would any other surgery. Like my, you know, knee replacements are pretty cool to watch if you ever get a chance to watch one. But they basically saw those pieces of the bone off and to make room, and for lack of knowledge here, stick these little spacers in there and open your spine back up. So,
wow.
Yeah, I hope the recovery's not too long, because, you know, car show season starts in March here, late March. And I got to get the GTI ready.
But on another note, Steve from Corvallis, Oregon, called in, and he said, Valentine's for me was good. Viagra lasted 5 hours. Could have slept with 100 and felt like Wilt Chamberlain. My gosh. So somebody was having a great time on Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Go, Steve.
Love you a long time, dude. He's a popular man. He should rent him, you know. He should rent himself out on Valentine's Day. Find some Lonely Hearts Club.
Probably could.
Yeah, we help one of our listeners make some money for next year.
Yeah, we can always figure out. Yeah, that's a good idea. Everybody
it
can.
Is. And, you know, where John lives, he could go to where John lives and really make some business. Those old ladies in the nursing home.
I wonder what John's up to. I haven't heard anything from him, but I hope he's doing okay.
Maybe John's doing that and pimping himself out. He doesn't have time for us anymore.
Maybe that's it. You never know.
You know,
could be.
He made bail, got out of jail, and started pimping himself on Valentine's Day.
Giving those big smiles to the ladies at the nursing home.
That's right. Hey, we got the NBA All-Star game this week in Indianapolis.
How cool.
Kids already. Yeah. I'm just worried how many people are going to get shot. You know, we have one of the worst crime rates in the nation to begin with. And I hate to. And there's no racial overtone here to any people who have that. If you would see the ethnic mix of me and my family, you would think, well, they got them all covered. But there, this trouble seems to follow that NBA All-Star game from city to city.
Really?
There's some undesirable elements that follow it around. And usually,
seemed like,
uh,
It seems like there's so many just crazies that just being in a crowd of anything is a little bit intimidating now, I think.
Even though I was a policeman, I wasn't the Judge Dredd type. I was more the goofy neighborhood kind of cop, you know. But I did see a problem.
Cop, right?
Part of the time. But one thing I do see is there's nothing like here in Indy. To get DWI, you basically pay a couple tickets first time, and that's it. And you had a guy a few years ago. We have a really nice summer celebration called Black Expo. It lasts for a long time. We had a guy shoot 11 people. Shot 11 people, Peg. He did 7 months. How do you serve 7 months for shooting 11 people? And I know he was out. Only reason I know he was out is I got in a pursuit with a vehicle he was in that committed burglaries. And, we're getting him out of the car one at a time, felony stop stuff. And, he said he can't get out. So I'm like, well, let's go up there and get him. And he starts crawling out. And I'm like, what are you doing out? He goes, I'm on work release. I'm like, what? Your new job is to burglarize houses? He had a very unique scar on his nose. And, I'm not saying everyone needs to go to jail. Everyone needs to go to prison. Everyone needs to be fined so they're bankrupt. But
that's one thing they're really
even in school now, just everybody gets by with everything. And then they grow up, no repercussions for your actions. So, there's nobody to say, hey, that's not wrong. If you do that again, I'm going to smack the piss out of you.
Yeah. If you get caught with a DWI, you lose your license and you go to jail. So you spend a night in jail.
Wow.
Spend
the night in jail here, but.
And that's pretty scary for most people who aren't used to spending the night in jail.
Yeah.
And then I think you lose your license for, I don't know if it's like 6 months or it's really a pretty stiff fine. So you see a lot of people who actually ride their bicycles to bars so they don't have to worry about getting caught.
There's certain crimes I just think there just needs to be some mandatory jail time. I'm not talking 7 years. I'm not talking a year. But most normal people like you and I and, our other radio court. If we were caught DWI and just mandatory, you're serving 2 weeks no matter what.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people would think twice. One overnight in jail is not going to make very many people not drink.
Yeah, sleeping on a cold floor or a bench or whatever, it's pretty miserable. I've known a couple of people that's happened to. But I don't know. Once I got pulled over, and it was a quiet street, and I had only had 2 beers, so I wasn't drunk. But they must have been having a training exercise or something. Well, they were. I'm driving the mom mobile, Dodge Caravan, and I got pulled over, and there were 5 cop cars there. And I was just petrified because I thought, oh God, my name's going to be in the paper. What's going to happen? I'm going to go to prison. I'm just going into a total panic state. They made me get out of the car and try to walk. I was so nervous I could hardly stand. I was just a wreck. And these guys are huge, these cops are, and they were so intimidating. I was so scared. Finally, I think they're head guy showed up and he said, there's nothing wrong with her. She's just fine. She just freaked out. But it put the fear of the Lord in me for sure. I would not be driving with any alcohol.
I would grade horribly on Alderfield sobriety, gaze nystagmus. I've had a stroke, so I have it pretty much all the time. The 9-step walk and turn, I've got artificial knees and hips, so I'm not going to do well on that. I just tell them, hit me with the PBT and let's go do a blood draw and get it over with so I can show you I'm sober. But I would fail all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, we were talking about that yesterday at the pool about how many people just can't. I mean, as after a certain age, you just your balance isn't good enough to walk the line like that.
One leg stand and a 9-step walk and turn are pretty much if you don't have any severe health issues up to age 70, you should be able to do it. One of the things that cracked me up here when I did DWI Task Force, they would ask you to demonstrate in court. I'd always tell the deputy prosecutor, don't ask me to demonstrate. I've had a stroke and I have artificial joints. I will fail.
Well, I think probably a lot of people could do it. I don't know if I could because now I can't walk on my foot because of the tendon.
Oh, yeah.
So I've been trying to figure out how to walk with a cane, which I haven't really mastered. So I just basically just keep my foot up on ice most of the time. What? We have 296 listeners now. How about that?
Right.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Well, 296 cool people.
Yeah, very cool, I'm sure.
DWI test peg, the one that the other ones were okay. They just helped build your case. But the one that was never wrong because you can't control it, even if you're an excellent drinker and you don't have much motor skill decline when you've been drinking, is the gaze nystagmus, the ones that test your eyes. It you cannot impact that, even if you're a really good drinker. And that's the one I always did first. And if they did great on that, I'd send them on their way and not waste their time and my time on the other two.
And you said that was their eyes?
Yep.
They did that to me, too.
Yep.
But because I was on an antidepressant, my eyes, I was probably just totally freaked out. My eyes must have been huge because I was scared to death. But
They bounce back and forth left and right when you hold that pen out there if you've been drinking.
So learn all these tricks so we know what's going on if we get stopped.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. Call your lawyer.
Yeah.
Just don't refuse. I tell people all the time, just don't refuse right away because Indiana law anyway, if you refuse to do them and the judge and everything's on body cam now, so if you refuse, there's no doubt to the judge or the jury you refused. It's mandatory loss of license for a year, even if you're found not guilty of the DWI.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that should be a deterrent.
Yeah. Well, our prosecutor's so weak here. Like I say, you can do about anything in Indianapolis and you won't get arrested.
Huh.
Oh, I'm glad I'm away from it, Peg. I did my time in purgatory. I lacked 2 months of doing 33 years. And that was enough. I don't miss it, though. I literally do not miss it. I missed it one day since I've been retired. We had a big shootout here, and two of our guys got shot. And that's the only time that I've wanted to go back. I was with Stacy, and I said, God, if I had my stuff, I'd go right now.
It must be scary to put your life on the line like that every day and not knowing if some crazy person's going to pull a gun on you
I was in a couple of shootout situations. I was attached to SWAT and had one shootout across the hood of my car. But even then, it's always so funny because, you have to go down to homicide and all that. And they played the tape back, and I was so calm on that one across the hood. And I saw him kill two people, so I was pretty, I thought I was pretty excited. And I sounded just like this. Control, he's shooting at me.
Wow.
First round, he pulled off at me because I pitted him, where you spin him out. But there was a really high curb, and the car bounced right into my car. So I T-boned him right in the driver door, and we kind of looked at each other, and he stuck this .44 mag out the window and pulled a round off, hit the corner of the windshield, went through the roof, and exited the vehicle and hit a brick building. I thought, wow,
Oh no.
I had houses behind him, so I couldn't just do a mag dump on him. You know, I had to be pretty cautious. So I thought, let me try to get out of the car. Well, unfortunately, we hit so hard, my door was pinned shut. And so it didn't shatter my windshield. It just, you know, spidered it and put the hole in it. So, and I was trying to lay down across the seat and just stick my eye above the dashboard so I could watch him in case he got out. And with the woman he killed while I was chasing him, she was, let's just say, on the double X, triple X side, so he couldn't get across her to get out the other side because, you know, her body was there. So he was stuck, and I was stuck, and so we were just doing the pop up and down thing. And because I was laying over my right side, even though I'm left-handed, I draw a gun right-handed for some reason. And so I couldn't get my gun out, but fortunately I was in my regular patrol uniform, so I had a gun on my ankle, and I was able to use that one.
Wow.
Yeah, that was a pretty crazy day. That chase lasted
for
over
20
minutes.
Did you have to
shoot him? Rush hour.
Oh, God.
He was down to one bullet, and he shot himself with the last bullet peg.
And he'd shot the woman who was in the car with him first?
Yep. He shot her. He broke in her house because her I knew because I'd been to that house about a dozen times also. He broke in. She got a new boyfriend. He broke in, shot him in the house, and killed him. Broke her across the parking lot, and unbeknownst to the caller, pulling in a lot, I see him. And, you know, we met head-to-head, drove up a hill and around me, so I'm chasing him. This still bothers me to this day, Peggy, and this has been close to 20 years ago. I'm looking at him because our cars are nose-to-nose in the parking lot. I heard her. I could see her lips move. I couldn't hear her. She screamed, "Help me." And he put in reverse and drove up this hill, and then the chase was on. And then we drove down, got on the interstate, and he shot her in the head while I was behind him. And it, you know. Here's the crazy thing.
Gives me the shivers.
He had a 14-year-old girl in the car, her daughter with him. He sexually assaulted her after he killed the mom and was driving. Yeah. So, he got everything he deserved, in my opinion. But that was a big news story here.
Just another day in the life of
Here's the scary part, Peg. The night before, I had just gotten back from a 10-day vacation in Mexico, and my now deceased ex-wife, Chris, she had to be hospitalized the night we got back, so I didn't get off work or didn't get out of the hospital. I had to be at work at 5:30, and I didn't get out of the hospital till 4, so I hadn't been asleep literally for like 40 hours that day.
I was in a bad mood
to start with.
Oh, God.
But then, you know, I'm down to the hospital office, and I keep nodding off, and they're like, "You all right?" I'm like, "I haven't slept, you know, for almost 2 days now." But it's been clear cut on that one, so it was wild. And I have to say, times that I've been in really bad stuff like that, when they play the tape back, just like I'm talking right now, is exactly how I sounded on the radio. I never got shook up. Some guy screaming, "Wow, sounds like a 5-year-old in the first grade getting drug out of the room." Can't understand.
That's what I would be doing. Yeah, having to put your life on the line like that and not knowing what you're dealing with has got to be.
Yeah, you know, a lot of it, though, is I'm a firm believer in training and muscle memory and not getting excited. I never get excited. Now, John will tell you, when I played football, I got pretty excited. I mean, but police work, I just stayed calm all the time. They're like, people be screaming, yelling. I'm like, done yet, because I want. And that's a trick when you're in a room, especially a domestic, with 2 or 3, 4 people going at it. I always call my recruits, and I would suggest parents try this at home if your kids are going, you know, all loud and stuff. Just talk in a nice, normal voice and say something that's important, and they will actually lower their voices to listen to what you have to say.
Uh-huh.
It's a pretty proven technique.
Yeah, good idea.
Yeah.
And then they feel confident that somebody's more in control probably,
yeah.
too.
Yep.
They're all out of control. Wow.
They enjoy the job.
Were you bionic yet then? Or was that before you had all your surgeries and everything?
I got my first joint replacement about 4 years ago. And I just spaced them out every 6 months.
Oh, God. Oh, my. That's exciting.
Then COVID got in the way. COVID got in the way, so I had to push hip back, the right hip back. They called it an elective, and I'm like, I can't even walk. It's not an elective. But...
Yeah, COVID really changed everything for everybody, I think.
It did, Peggy. I don't think at least American society and the American workplace will ever be as vibrant as it was pre-COVID.
And people got used to working at home and having more control over their lives, too, and I think they're not eager to be back in an office situation if they can work from home.
Why would you be? I mean, my non-police job, I wrote code. You know, I was a programmer, I was an IT guy. I can write code just as well at home as I could there. You know, and now with the, FaceTime and stuff on your phone, if you need to contact a group leader, a supervisor, another programmer, you just, call them up. Hey, how are you doing here? You know, you do away with, think of the gasoline it saves, especially at $3.50 a gallon. Not driving in,
and
it's a lot cheaper to eat at home than it is out.
Yeah, it must save the company's money too, because they don't have to have such big buildings to keep to take care of. And,
yeah. Oh yeah.
I guess. They're trying to get more people back to be working in the office. So somewhere I read that, although
I do believe it is less productive for everybody to work at home. I don't think as much gets done. I'll be the first one to tell you. I mean, I can concentrate like nobody's business, but if my dog needs its ears played with, or I'm going to go play with the dog's ear, I've got four dogs, Peggy, they're all old.
Got lots of ears to play with. Those big floppy ears.
Libby doesn't like her
Basset?
To play with, but I'm doing the same thing.
Yeah,
we got a Basset Hound, a Dorgie, half Dachshund, half Corgi, but he looks just like a Dachshund. Then I got the Cheweenie Beulah, who has, she looks like Sister Bertrille. Her ears hang out to the side and... look just like a nun. She looks just like a nun. Then there's Libby, who has, I call her devil ears. They look just like devil horns on a bull terrier. They stick straight up.
they're interesting looking dogs, the bull
terriers.
They are
strange dogs.
Yeah, they're cool. I love all animals.
Me too. I was so, oh my God, speaking of animals, everybody will tell you that knows me, I'm the toughest SOB they know. Except when it comes to animals. I have this soft spot for animals. I was watching a video from one of those safari tours in Alaska, or not Alaska, Africa. They put a bunch of people in these utility trucks and take them out. Filming near a river, and baby, some kind of antelope, swimming across the river, and this big croc is just making a beeline for it.
Oh,
I mean, you can see it intercepting. It's mommy. It's mommy runs and jumps in the river. It's dead center, the intersection point, that crocodile and that baby deer, and she stops swimming, Peggy, and waits on the croc to get her. And I watched it like four times to make sure it wasn't a manipulated video or anything, and you could hear all the people talking in the talk about. And people who say animals don't have feelings, they don't love, they're incapable. I told Stacy tonight, I said that anybody says that, I want to tie them in a chair, glue their eyeballs open, make them watch it 500 times in a row.
That's horrible.
It was sad. Yeah, I mean,
did you ever get to work with dogs? on the fourth when you were on the police force?
Dogs. I didn't want to. I don't like canine.
Mm.
Nope. It just wasn't
that
for
must
me.
Be really
I don't
hard
like,
too.
Because I always get bummed out when the dogs get shot and stabbed and stuff. And so it would not have been a good fit for me. Hey, Mark's going to be with us in about a minute and a half, and we're at 387, Peggy.
I just got a message from him, too. I think he said, let's see, did I get this wrong?
Well, here I am.
There he is.
Yeah, Mark.
Yeah, as we wind this thing down, and I know, you know, the listeners, you know, love that hour thing, but we'll get it back in next week. We're down about 3 minutes and some change. You brought a lot of things down. I've been hearing the show as I've been manning the board about, you know, being a cop today, and boy, Eli, I'll tell you, it's amazing. I always said I couldn't be one. I got some friends that are you know, part of the process, but to me, it's hard today considering, you know, what you're dealing with out there. I mean, and it's unfortunate. I just think the laws somehow go against the victim and more so for the perpetrator. I don't know. I mean, that's just one man's opinion. And I'm sure people would agree or disagree with me.
Our victims don't get anything. I mean, most of these, in lieu of jail time a lot of times, I mean, certainly they should do some kind. But our victims never get restitution. They really don't.
Yeah.
They're a victim the rest of their life. You might be in jail for 3 weeks, but that person's going to be victim and traumatized probably for the rest of their life.
Yeah.
I say
garnish like the
whole
the kids and
their whole life.
All the shootings that happen. It's just incredible to me how many people just get shot at randomly, you know. Think how you'd feel if your kid went
Well,
out
and you know what, that thing, and to make it, you know, and we're down about 2 minutes and change and not to elaborate too much on it, but that thing with the parade, I mean, you kind of thought in the back of your head, you know a lot of athletes and everything, and thinking one of these whack jobs are going to get on a field or something, you kind of think how they, you know, get into these things, but you kind of think with 800 cops there in Kansas City, how do three dudes unload some guns? So it's crazy.
Well,
you know,
Mark,
you know,
I just read an article before the show started, talk about security. Some woman in an airport got asked all security things and actually got on the plane without a ticket.
Yeah.
What?
And, you
well,
know,
accountability. Well, here's some of the words that are lost in today's society as you wrap it up, Eli. Accountability, communication, loyalty, respect. These are lost words today. I think you got to go back a few years back to just to kind of resurrect those words. As we wrap up this great show, Eli, let everybody know how they can get a hold of you as we reconvene here next week, and then we'll give it over to Peggy.
Raisovich, Raisovich, on Facebook. Send me something in Messenger, something in the comment about Eat Me podcast, and I'll get back with you.
Well, as we keep promoting it daily, the three-headed monster here, Peggy, let everybody know how they can get a hold of you. And we start to rip up social media with the three of us till the rest of these guys get back in the bullpen and start throwing some strikes so we can get them in for the opening day.
Well, yeah. My email is pegpalmercreative@gmail.com. And if you put something about the podcast in the subject line, I'll be sure and see it. And I'm also on Facebook, and it's just Peg Palmer. And I don't know how to distinguish which, but I guess Peg Palmer Sarasota would probably do it. But I'd love to hear from people. That would be great.
Well, you can get a hold of me all over the place, even if you think I suck, but you still listen. And we'll be back here next week, the three of us, going 60 minutes, more so than Dan Rather. Till then, have a blessed one. Catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. We'll talk to you next week, and we can't wait to hear about what your Valentines were, too. Good night, everybody, and thanks for tuning in.
Bye.
See you guys.
See you next week.